Rise and shine. 6 a.m. and your hand can't make it to the alarm clock before the voices in your head start telling you that it's too early, too dark, and too cold to get out of bed. Aching muscles lie still in rebellion, pretending not to hear your brain commanding them to move. A legion of voices are shouting their unanimous permission for you to hit the snooze button and go back to dreamland. But you didn't ask their opinion. The voice you've chosen to listen to is one of defiance. A voice that says there was a reason you set that alarm in the first place. So sit up, put your feet on the floor, and don't look back, because we've got work to do. Welcome to the grind. For what is each day but a series of conflicts between the right way and the easy way? 10,000 streams fan out like a river delta before you, each one promising the path of least resistance. Thing is, you're headed upstream. And when you make that choice, when you decide to turn your back on what's comfortable, safe, and what some would call common sense, well, that's day one. From there, it only gets tougher. So just make sure this is something you want, because the easy way out will always be there, ready to wash you away. All you have to do is pick up your feet. But you aren't going to, are you? With each step comes the decision to take another. You're on your way now, but this is no time to dwell on how far you've come. You're in a fight against an opponent you can't see, but oh, you can feel him on your heels, can't you? Feel him breathing down your neck. You know what that is? That's you. Your fears, your doubts, and insecurities all lined up like a firing squad, ready to shoot you out of the sky. But don't lose heart. While they're not easily defeated, they are far from invincible. Remember, this is the grind. The battle royale between you and your mind, your body, and the devil on your shoulder is telling you that this is just a game. This is just a waste of time. Your opponents are stronger than you. Drown out the voice of uncertainty with the sound of your own heartbeat. Burn away your self-doubt with the fire lit beneath you. Remember what we're fighting for, and never forget that momentum is a cruel mistress. She can turn on a dime or the smallest mistake. She is ever searching for the weak place in your armor, that one tiny thing you forgot to prepare for. So as long as the devil is hiding the details, the question remains, is that all you got? Are you sure? And when the answer is yes, when you've done all you can to prepare yourself for battle, then it's time to go forth and boldly face your enemy, the enemy within. Only now you must take that fight into the open, into hostile territory. You're a lion in a field of lions, all hunting the same elusive prey with a desperate starvation that says victory is the only thing that can keep you alive. So believe that voice that says you can run a little faster and you can throw a little harder, and that for you, the laws of physics are merely a suggestion. Luck is the last dying wish of those who want to believe that winning can happen by accident. Sweat, on the other hand, is for those who know it's a choice. So decide now, because destiny waits for no man. And when your time comes and 1,000 different voices are trying to tell you you're not ready for it, listen instead to that lone voice of dissent. The one that says you are ready. You are prepared. It's all up to you now. So rise and shine.
Get home tonight. Let me make love to you for the last time. drive. Gave you all you need and want as long as I'm alive. I'll shine your love. Carry on, just that strong soul.
We're actually going to say some things that people don't like. We're going to say things that people love. But at the end of the show, in the middle of the show, or even at the beginning of the show, we're going to bridge some gaps. That's what we do. That's who we are. So, guys, you understand something. Today is Freedom Friday.
It is. Yes, it is.
Yes, and because today is Freedom Friday, you know, we're free every day of the week. Hopefully you are too. But at the end of the day, and Freedom Friday is the day that we have, you know, we're going to pop in some emotions from time to time. You know, we love the fact that, you know, we write our own schedule. We do what we do, you know, for people, have heart for people. And that's what the grind is all about, giving real insight needed daily, helping people realize who they are, flipping people inside out so that they can discover who they are on the inside, manifest that power on the outside. And that's what we do. That's who we are. I say hello to everybody.
Great morning to everybody jumping on the grind. Keep my tone. You know, you always got come on very, very loud. But it's that energy. Happy Friday. Oh, my goodness. It's another day to go out and to be great. And there's a lot going on. And just a amount of, like, weeks, right?
Right.
It's been
right.
About a week since we've been back on the grind. Had a little vacay going on. And it's just a lot of great things happening over the last couple of weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, life in general, but I definitely want to take the time to, you know, just kick this thing off and come out to the very first event that we did right here.
We haven't been aired since.
No, we have not, because we caught a fight the next morning at 6 a.m., right?
That was
so fun. Thank you to everyone who came out to a phenomenal event, our very first The Grind Connection event that took place here in Vegas, as we were able to connect and to meet some amazing people right in this city. And it just turned out well, considering, you know, we literally planned it in a little time, right?
And we planned in a little time. Here's the thing, you know, we planned, you know, we had, you know, a couple of amazing people come out and help.
We did.
With it, you know, and we were able to make the first event a success. And, you know, we're just thankful, we're grateful. And, you know, the grind, that first Grind Connection event really stood for, you know, it was an over overarching thing for not just, you know, any industry, any business, it was just in general.
Right.
You know, how you really connect with someone.
Right.
I always talk about building relationships, but how do you really connect with someone? Do you connect with them at that moment and you never talk to them again until you see them again? You say, oh, I remember you. You know, or you really connect and say, okay, what is it that you do? How do we actually connect? And from there, do something together,
right.
Build some business together, or you know, that's really what this thing is all about. And that's what we stand for. Man, we literally really had some blood, sweat, and tears with that event, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
It should be that way for your first event. But the good thing about it is we met a lot of people, you know, for the very, very first time. You know, we've been to quite a few events here. Vegas, right? We've been to quite a few events here. We've networked with quite a few people. And, you know, but this, there was something different about this first event. You know, we were able to meet some people that came out that we had never met before. And we were ecstatic about that because we got to create new connections.
Right.
And
we had real conversations.
Real conversations.
Yeah.
We had fun. Good
right.
food.
Right. Great
you know,
food.
Shout out to Chef Jones here.
Yeah, he definitely
in,
did his
in
thing.
Las Vegas, Nevada. He did his thing out here. Gave us some. We told him, we're about health and wellness.
Right. He's a soul food chef.
Soul food
so he's chef. Like, listen.
Yeah.
We can't bring the mac and cheese and all of that to this. What else you got? But he did it right. He did it nice.
He laid off all of the heavy spices.
Right. right.
No heavy salt and all this and that. So he gave us some nice, you know, food. He showed us really that you can cook and have good food
mm-hmm.
and it not be unhealthy.
Right. He
right?
did.
And that's what this thing is all about. So
it is.
Shout out to Chef Jones here, guys. You'll see him more. For what we're doing here. Man, shout out to all of the people that came out, man. We had an amazing time. Right after that, Pam and I flew out the next morning to Cabo San Lucas.
Yes, Cabo San Lucas. Yes, for a very well-needed vacation, something that Nate and I don't do too often where we're actually relaxing. You know, everything that we do, and we love what we do, so it's a good thing. You know, it's not a vacation. We're typically working. We're doing something. But for the first time in a very long time, because, you know, obviously the struggle was real. So we didn't vacation. None, right? Very rare. Like, we can count on one hand how many times, probably in 31 years, right, that
right.
we've actually.
I mean, we've took vacations.
We
but
have.
Vacations aren't, for us, vacations aren't really
about
vacations.
They're usually
yeah.
about the kids.
But
right.
we've got the kids with us, and some of you can relate to this, right?
Uh-huh.
You got the kids with you, which is cool. You want to have
right.
your family with you because as you're getting old, you're going to realize those kids are going to grow up and go away.
Right, then you're going to miss them.
Right, you're going to miss them. So you want to have your family with
right.
you, and we've had those vacations. But what stood out for me is, you know, A, yeah, we got the opportunity to just, you know, have a vacation with just Pam and I, which we have hardly ever done, rarely. And the second thing is, we got a chance to have a vacation and we didn't have to worry about money, right?
Right?
We didn't have to worry about how we were going to pay for it. We didn't have to worry about, you know, money when we got there. So that was kind of out of the way for us. So we were able to go out and have fun. And which kind of brings us to, we want to get to our topic,
yeah.
you know, while we're talking about Cabo, because Cabo was a cool place. It was, you know, it was cool. You know, people didn't speak, you know, speak of the English, but
we adapted. For the most part, that was
keep it 100.
Where they say they all spoke English.
Yeah.
But they
have that convenient thing when you ask for something or something that,
name
you know,
wasn't always the half.
Yeah, they're like, huh?
Is this what you
I say,
call
VIP? Yeah, they get real conveniently. They're like, I don't understand what you're saying. When they don't want to get you something, right? They just, or they don't think they can get it, you know? Because we were like, you guys said this was like, we were VIP, you know? We come in and whatever we want, we get. And here we are. I'm asking for this and it's not unreasonable. And you're like, I don't know, senor. But anyway, it was fun. We got a chance to ride some ATVs. We got a chance to ride some horses.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah,
we wanted with those ATVs. All I can say is, if you've never done it before, do it one time. But all I know is that was something that I enjoyed it, but I only enjoyed the beach. When we were going over those hills, the beach, because the beach, the sand was smooth. So it was smooth riding. I was like, yes, I felt like born free, right? The horse when we are on the beach. But going up them hills, coming down them hills, and all of the bumps, don't worry about it, okay? That's some nonsense for those people out there that like to ride ACVs.
That's some nonsense.
That's some nonsense. My hands were hurting so bad. I understood why our driver had gloves, okay? Like, you should warn people. We need some gloves because my hands were hurting. And my body,
throughout the day.
My body was doing so many different things that it wasn't used to. To where you know how your body's just like on fire, like my body was on fire, like tingling, because of the blood flowing through my body. So it was crazy, as it was so many times. Imagine doing this for 2 hours. Like, this was not a 30-minute ride. We did this for 2 straight hours. We're in the middle of the desert, so I can't stop. I can't quit. I can't give up. I got to keep on going. So I'm looking at Nate because he was like, you want to be in the middle? I'm like, nah, let me bring in the rear, okay? Because I don't want to run in. And nobody was in the beginning. I was like, whoa, this thing had me like.
She just wanted to run into me, right?
And stuff. So I held down the rear. And so they many times left me. One time I got stuck. I got stuck going up this hill. The hill was like straight up in the air. And I got stuck. The tire went so deep down in that sand. And I couldn't get out. And I was just in there spinning. Couldn't get out. He had to come and get me out. And when I got out, I was mad too, because I took my brand new sneakers. The only doggone sneakers I took over there was my brand new ones. And I'm sitting there, and I had to get out into this sand. And my I promise you, the sand was so deep, it went almost up to my knees when I stepped out in it. So it was just crazy, but
sounds
it was
like
fun.
Quicksand.
We had a great time, out there in Cabo, relaxing, having some fun. You know, and just taking a chill while we were out there, and definitely just really staying off of social media. We post it every now and again just to, give some energy and some vibes. But and then from afar, we saw, you know, our team. You shout out to them because they kept the fire burning. They turned up the fire. They kept on rolling and kept on doing what was necessary to go out and to create the freedom that everybody deserves. So TLC definitely on fire all across the board. So, yeah, so it was a great time. Yeah, you know, every now and again, you got to do something different. And I can tell you that was an opportunity for me to do something different, have some fun, and yet still, you know, realize that, hey, that's what life is all about. So anyway, on this Friday, you know, as we're talking about freedom and as we're entering another week, because for us it's another week, for a lot of people around the world, it's the weekend and they're just excited to have a couple of days off. And we got a lot going on in this world right now at this given moment, in which we continue to, you know, pray and not live in fear with all of the with the virus that's going around and things of that nature. So we continue to pray and lift up our world, our country. You know, throughout all of this, but realizing that, you know what, we don't live in fear, but we got to use wisdom. And I can tell you that's something that I really had to fight, because I was ready to get on the plane last night. I'm like, listen, I don't care what these people saying. I got my chaga and my Nutriverse. I am powered up, and I am powered up strong, not to mention all these other herbs that's in our system that we can't even, some half of them we can't even name, okay? When you're a product of the product, you don't really worry about it, but you know, you also got to take the time to listen.
Guys, it goes back to the scriptures. As God said, don't test me.
Right.
You know, so just because I said, you know, I'll keep sickness from the mystery, you don't mean you go and drink poison. Right? So you have to make some common sense.
I was trying to get on the plane. Yeah. Then when everybody called me talking about, we going to cancel this event, we going to cancel that event. I'm like, well, dog, thank God we got a home-based business. Because it sounds like for the next month, we're going to be home-based business for real. Because everybody, all the events that we have plans, y'all didn't know those, okay?
Right.
So,
you know, understanding where we are in the world.
Right.
Right, you know, we got the coronavirus going on right now. I think, what do they call it, COVID-9 or something like that, COVID-19 or something like that. You know, it's, you know, putting everything in context, I'm not minimizing it, you know, but understanding, you know, that this is now, classified as a pandemic. Which I think just means it's around the world. and you know, it's in X amount of countries. So, you know, understanding, knowing where you are, and understanding that, you know, for those of you that have been doing what you should be doing to maintain your body and keep a healthy immune system and things of that nature, then shout out to you.
Right.
You know, but for those of you that have not, this is a great opportunity. It's a great eye opener for you to understand that, you know, it's time for me to start doing something better for myself, you know, not only financially, but physically as well. You know, you can't carry the spirit around in your body without a body. Right. So, you know, do the right thing. You know, get on some health and wellness products that actually work, and, you know, build up your immune system. Stay away from the sugars and the salt and everything that's going to break your body down. Right. And like Pam said, Pam was like, she was ready to get on a plane because, you know, she feels fine. Right.
He was so, like, you go by yourself.
Yeah, I was like, you know, we can't both be on the
he's
plane
like,
getting quarantined. You know. And you know, and
I was still packing.
Right. She's like, I'm like, yeah, I love you and all, but somebody gotta
Southwest
be here.
Southwest gonna give me my money back.
Right.
No, just
yeah, the big negative on Southwest.
That's
we said
right.
we were gonna burn them.
Right.
And guys,
don't
Southwest ain't gonna give you your money back, you know, for nothing.
I'm mad.
So,
y'all
you know,
y'all that shout out Southwest. That's why I'm a Delta girl. Okay.
Yeah.
The one time I want to get off Southwest and y'all want to keep our money. It's okay.
It's okay. but man, let's jump into this because we can talk about the coronavirus all day long. But you know, we don't want to focus on it because what you focus on grows. We're all aware of what's happening. Yeah, don't go out shaking no hands and touching on people and you know, all this and that. They're doing this and that. But so use common sense. You know, if you don't have to go and do something, then don't do it. You know, but I'm not telling you to be in your house petrified with fear. Okay. For those of you that have, you know, are immuned up, then you're good to go. All right. But, you know, we talked about something last night, even on our team call, and I wanted to kind of perpetuate it or bring it back a little bit. You know, yeah. I wanted
I
to bring it back
say.
A little bit.
And I was getting ready to say the same thing.
Go
ahead. Go
ahead.
No, go.
So we talked about, raising our standards on our team call last night. And I wanted to kind of bring that in a little bit because I think it's relevant no matter who you are, no matter what you do, raising your standards from the three different aspects that we talk about. We talk about the mental, we talk about the physical, and we talk about the financial.
Right.
Everybody wants to be great. And as the Marines say, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right. So when we think about what we want being, you know, in alignment with your goals and your vision and seeing that thing and putting it in front of you,
right,
and seeing what it is and what it is that you want. And then you ask yourself that question, how do you get to it? How do I get from point A to point B to get my hands on what I want without taking casualties, without, you know, struggling? And the answer is, you know, you don't get there without taking casualties.
No, you got to take all of that in.
Yeah, you don't get there without struggling. It's all a part of progress and growth. And you know, I guess that phrase, Pam, has kind of like permeated my brain so much when we talk about raising the standards and the law of average,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the law of average is powerful on two different planes, right? Two different existences, because the law of average means that not everybody is going to do it,
right?
So you get 100 people, and the law of average says, you know, you may get 10 or 15 or 20 of those people that actually completely commit themselves and immerse themselves in whatever it is that they're doing,
and
rise to the top. And we can call it, you know, there's the 80-20 Pareto law that Pam just said. There's a lot of different laws. When you look at the law of average,
mm-hmm.
on those two different existences, like the law of averaging people, what the people are going to do, if 100 people do it, then 10 or 20 people are going to do it. That's the law of average. Then you look at the real law of average, which is most people have greatness inside of them, but their intent on being average for somehow. They put more effort in being average than they do being above average and getting great. And now you tell somebody that, Pam, they're going to be like, well, I don't put emphasis on being average.
Yeah.
I say, you may tell me that.
Right.
You may say you don't put emphasis on being average.
Right.
But your actions are showing me otherwise.
And, you know, I think a lot of times it has something to do with the fact that many times people don't realize the gifts that they have. And we minimize ourselves for fear of what it's going to take or what you're going to have to go through in order to really manifest and to become that very thing. And it brings me to...
Becca, you said people don't realize the gifts that they have.
Like they, yeah, and they allow fear to stop them
from realizing their gift?
No. They may not fully realize it, and maybe sometimes they recognize it, but it's that fear that stops them from really raising their standards and not accepting the minimums and the status quo.
Now, and what you just said, and I hate to keep interrupting you because I want to pull this out of you.
Okay.
Because when you say that the fear, and so we just realize that people, it's not that they don't know what they're good at. Because if you ask 10 people, what are you good at?
Right.
What? Give me one thing that you're really good at. And 9 out of those 10 people are going to tell you right off the cuff. Right.
Some
if I ask you guys, yeah, some of them are going to stutter a little
like
bit.
Like if we ask God, what's
right? But because what are they going to say?
One thing that you're good at.
Yeah. What are you good at? And you, they say, well, I'm good at doing this, or I'm good at doing that. You know, and that right there is your starter. So it's not. I don't think it's a matter of them not knowing.
No, there's people
out
there that can't answer that question. I know because I was that person. I couldn't answer that question. I couldn't answer that question.
But you always knew what your passion was. You always knew you were good at helping people.
I felt like I had no talents, no gifts, no nothing.
But you
knew.
But you knew you were good at helping people, right?
I knew that.
So that in itself is a gift,
right?
Right. The gift of passion, the gift of helping people.
Right, but you minimize it, and I didn't see that as a gift. I'm like, I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts. Like, for real. I didn't see that. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people don't recognize it because
if you don't know your gift right now, if you're on social media right now, tell me what your gift is. Tell me what you're really good at. I don't want to use the word gift because I think gift scares people. What are you good at? I think that's where people have to start.
Right.
What are you good at? And once you determine what you're good at, then you can determine how your giftings flow and what you're good at.
Right.
Right? So tell me what you're good at. I don't care if it's cleaning toilets. Tell me what you're good at. And then from there, we can make a determination on what your giftings are.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, that's real. Many times people can't identify that. And I felt like there was definitely something on the inside of me, but I felt average all across the board. I wanted to be great. But I felt average all across the board because I felt like I didn't have any gifts or talents or any of that. So it took me having to really dig deep and to really look myself in the mirror, that man in the mirror, and say, oh, no, you're not settling for this. You're not going to settle and feel like you're less than or you're meant to be average. It took me having to do that and have to talk to myself to really understand and to figure out that, you know what, I did have some greatness on the inside.
But what got you to that point? This is what
attracted you. Because I was tired. I was tired of feeling that way. I felt like I used to tell myself for real, okay, now listen. Like I used to look at my life and I used to say, okay, because I used to say to myself, okay, my parents didn't raise no dummy. They didn't raise nobody to be average. So I had to tell myself this. So it's like, Pam, you got to figure this out. You know, you're here. You can't sit back and feel like you don't have any gifts and any talents. So what are you going to do in order to figure it out? So I had to begin
to
literally.
Why did you feel like you were? And why did you feel like you were dumb?
I couldn't figure it out. I didn't feel like I don't want to use that word, but I couldn't figure it out. Like for real. And there's some people out there that you just don't know. You're here on this earth and you don't really understand your purpose. And it's not a good feeling because you know that there's something more for you to do in this world, but you're like, what is it? And mainly, a lot of times, it's that fear of you just really not wanting to, I guess, maybe slow down and identify. It's the fear of the unknown. And so I lived it. And I felt that way, but I knew that there was something on the inside of me, but I had to make a decision. I had to decide, nah, this is not how my story is supposed to end. I could want greatness. I could want things in life. I could want success. But until I figure out what God has for me to do here on this earth and to continue to listen to what he is telling me to do and to pay attention, then nothing would matter. So I had to slow down for real.
Well, what was your trigger point? What made Pam say, I need to figure out what my gifts, what my talents are? What was your trigger point?
I would have to say my trigger point was I mean, there comes a point in time in life where you just get like sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was trying all these things, okay, all of these businesses that I wanted to win in. And I would give it my all. One thing about me, I never had a problem with half-stepping, okay? I would always give it my all. I'm going to give it my 100%. So I'm going to go all in order to do something. And I'm not a quitter. I don't care. I don't quit with things. I'm that one that would be the last man standing when everybody has jumped off the boat. I'm still trying to believe, like, for real. So that I didn't recognize. That's a gift, though. To not be a quitter, that's a gift.
It can be a gift. It's a gift.
But it can also
curse.
Be a curse, too, yeah. Right? Because if there's times when you need to jump off the boat, okay? You need to understand that this ain't the boat you're supposed to be on, okay? So you need to get off. But I honestly was just tired of failing.
So your trigger point was, I was tired of, you were, so Pam said she was tired of failing. And, you know, as you get older, you know, you want to leave a legacy of some sort.
Right.
You want people to remember you for something.
Right.
And I should tell Pamela, you're a mom, you know, you're a wife, you're a great mom, you're a great wife. But, you know, this is a great example because that wasn't just enough for Pam.
No, you tell me that all the time. You have the hardest job on earth.
Yeah, you have the hardest job here.
Mom,
I get out.
I
leave
mom.
And
I'm
go
like,
and deal with people.
That's not giving me, I love my
here.
Kids, but that's,
yeah.
that's not giving me.
That wasn't enough for her.
Wasn't enough.
Right? So ask yourself, is this enough? What's enough for you? And when you really think about it, the reason it wasn't enough for you, Pam, is because it wasn't what your passion, it wasn't what your true passion was. It's that thing inside of you that tells you you're here for more than that, right?
Right, and so, that's all it was, because don't get me wrong, because mm-hmm. I there were many women out there, I'm sure, that would just, you know, they would love to be able to be home with their kids 24 hours a day and to be able to go to every outing and everything. And I trust me, I have been blessed and I'm thankful for those moments because I remember the moments in which I couldn't do that. I remember, you know, seeing Brianna's eyes. Because Brianna, with her, it was a different story. We
right.
was working around the clock. And I remember sitting in traffic and seeing the tears run down her face as she was the last person picked up. And we paying overtime and aftercare. And she wondering why all the other kids gone and she's still there. So, you know, I realized that was a blessing. I don't take it lightly. And we sacrificed a lot in order for that blessing to have. We gave up a lot in order for me to have that blessing. So I appreciated it. But I just knew that from a significant standpoint, to really feel significant outside of my family and in this mm-hmm. world, and to move towards what
to
God,
make a mark.
Yeah, what God had for me, I had to figure it out, and I had to do something different.
So your so I guess the question here, guys, is what's your trigger point? I see some of you guys are putting in the comments
right.
here. You're putting what you're good at, And, you know, we're going to touch on some of these here in a moment. So keep putting them in chat. So your trigger point, you know, typically is that thing that makes you move.
Right.
Right. And I think people have kind of like numbed out their trigger points. And if you ever seen a gun that has a very, we call it a hair trigger, right?
Uh-huh.
You just touch it. You file it down enough to where it triggers. When you just touch the trigger, It boom, it goes. That's what gunfighters used to do,
uh-huh.
right? In the Old West, they would take their gun and they would file down that mechanism that held the trigger,
mm-hmm.
right? So that when they pulled it and all they had to do was tap the trigger a little
uh-huh.
bit, it's kind of like the mouse pad you got. So their trigger point was a lot quicker,
right?
Mm-hmm. So you have to ask yourself, what is your trigger point? If your trigger point has been dulled by life,
mm-hmm.
right? You've allowed life to come in. And now your gun and your trigger mechanism is all rusty because you haven't pulled the trigger in a long time.
Right.
Right. So now you're like, it's rusty. So you start to pull the trigger, it doesn't pull. And then now you just stop. You kind of give up. So your trigger point has to be, and I made that analogy to you guys so that you understand that there are things in life that you're being called to do, but some of you aren't doing them simply because you're afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also at that point where you don't know how I'm going to start and things of that nature. And the good thing about where we are and what we've learned, Pam, is that is that you have to be that person that focuses on what God has you here for.
Right.
Right.
That's the key.
That's the key. If you start focusing on everything else that everybody else is doing,
you can forget it.
Yeah. And you're not. And now, now I want to bring this into play because I want you guys to understand this, because it's not a hard process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult. You just have to figure it out for you. Right. And I said this even last night. I said, everything that you do, everything that you say,
uh-huh.
everything that you tell other people to implement into their lives, you have to implement into your life.
You got to be first partaker.
You got to be
otherwise
first
you're a
partaker, right? Otherwise, it's hypocrisy,
right?
Right?
It's hypocrisy.
So here we are talking, telling other people to do things that you know, that you're not doing. And it sounds good to the outside world, but when you go home, you're a shell of a person because you're not actually applying these things to your life. You've helped everybody else get where they need to be, but you're not applying them to your life,
right?
And rising yourself. So you're not rising with the tide,
right?
Right. So as you're raising your standards, as you're increasing the sensitivity on your trigger points, so that means if I see something that I know I need to do, or something that I know that boom, God is prompting me to do, then I just do it.
Right.
Okay. Let me do it. Let me do it now. Consider the cost later. I do it every single day. Pam does it every single day. It's about implementing the things that you know need to be implemented to get the things that you want.
Right.
And we said it. You know, you can't stay where you are, and where you are right now, to get the things that you want to get. You can't stay in one place.
No, it's not going to work.
So raising your standard.
You got to raise those standards.
Raising your standard is a must. And, you know, we hear people all the time, Pam, you know, they'll tell you, people are quick to tell you what they want. People know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they want. They know that I want this and I want that. I want a house for mom and them, dad and them. I want to buy this car. I want this house. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. They know.
Right.
So I don't believe there's a shortage of dreaming.
No,
I think
no, no.
We've all dreamed
and dreaming.
Visualized things at some point in time. The life that we want to live, we visualize them.
I agree. It's not a shortage in dreaming. It's a shortage of the go getting it. Okay. The go getting it done is what there's a shortage of. But when you understand and you know what you want and you realize that you have to raise your standards in order to be able to accomplish it. Because I can tell you, when I take myself back, and I really didn't fully understand my purpose, didn't know my gifts. And a lot of times we have gifts that we don't even recognize as gifts,
mm-hmm.
That we're giving, you know, to others, or, you know, in that we have going on in our life, and we don't even recognize it because because it's just who we are, you see. And so mm-hmm. we don't realize it's an actual gift. But when you get yourself to that point to where you know that the only way to accomplish this is you have to, you got to stretch yourself. You have to stretch yourself. You have to get yourself out of that comfort zone into the zone where it's going to require something of you. And when you put yourself in that position to where now it's requiring something of you, it's causing you to punch through the fear, and you get yourself to the point where, you know, you're like, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to get this accomplished. That's when you'll see the growth, because once you stretch yourself, you can never go back to the original state. That's the reason why, you know, it starts up here mentally. And once I got myself mentally to the point of refusing to remain the same, that's the thing. You cannot settle in life. Once you get yourself to the point of saying, I'm not going to accept this, okay? I believe in more. This is not how my story is supposed to end. And you now begin to drive forward and you focus on that thing, then that's when the change will begin to happen. But those mm-hmm. standards require something of you. So you got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to put in the work. You got to be willing to do whatever it takes. You got to be willing to not pay attention to the things that are happening right in front of you, the things that you're seeing, because those are just, you know, part of your process. You know, being able to look past today's circumstances and to be able to see tomorrow's future, that's a gift, and you got to work on that every single day, you know, because you could be in the middle of turmoil, right? Life could be falling apart around you, But it's a gift to be able to have vision. It's a gift to be able to see beyond that. It's a gift to be able to not focus on the current circumstances, but to see exactly where you're going. And when you utilize that gift, that's when your actions and everything will move you towards it. And one day those things that you're seeing will become your reality. But most of the time, people get stuck in the moment.
Stuck in the moment.
People get stuck
in the moment.
Moment.
Like Pam was stuck in the sand in Cabo and didn't know how to get out. She didn't want to hit the reverse button because she was just learning how to drive that thing forward.
No, yeah, right.
I'm going to hit the reverse. Now I got to drive this thing backwards?
I'm standing up on a hill.
As the old people say,
like
backwards?
This. I'm not going backwards. I saw myself putting that thing in reverse and flipping over.
Say, wait, baby, let me get the video camera first. Wait, don't do that yet.
No, I wasn't going in reverse. Okay, I had no option but to go forward. And when you put yourself in that position for real, and you look at your goals in life, and you understand that you're either moving forward, you're standing still, you're going backwards. For real. And
well,
so I'm
going to tell y'all, Pam, when I saw Pam's face. Now, we upgraded to the 500cc
ATV. Right, we didn't just
ATV.
Get any ATV.
We upgraded. Pam said, let's
that's
upgrade.
That's how we ended up with a private tour. Nobody else upgraded.
Nobody else wanted the
we
big boy,
we had a
board,
private
right?
tour.
Pam said, we got to the desk. Pam was like, all she heard was upgrade. She was like, oh, yeah, let's upgrade,
yes.
You know. And I'm like, you sure? She was like, yeah, let's upgrade. You know, let's get the big one. So the 500cc and 250cc. Right?
No,
so
we had 1,000.
No, it was 500.
Oh, I thought it was 1,000. I thought you said 1,000.
No, yours is the one that you had. So it was 500cc. We originally had the, I think it was 250, right? So the 500cc was the bigger one. And the look on Pam's face when she got on it and started it up was one look. Right? The second look was when I looked back when we started to move forward and she pushed that lever. And she
and
saw how much power.
Thing, if you got to go down a hill.
The
like,
third look was
right
the
now?
Hill look. I looked back and she's at the top of the hill like, yeah, this ain't going to happen. Because the hill winded down like
and
that.
And it's like this.
And just to start.
Just to start off.
Right?
I'm like, are y'all serious right now? Yeah,
so the guy had to give Pam the small one because she knew
what
limitations.
Yeah, in the middle of the tour, he got off a hill. Yeah. Yeah, take this.
Yeah.
But it still was that same speed. I just had a newer one.
Yeah, it was just
brand
more power.
New, upgraded,
well, it was more power.
Easier to
and
handle.
The trigger
yes.
was more.
Why are you on that and we on this? Okay?
Yeah.
So give me
but
the
But you
new
know
one.
What? Everything worked out the way it should because he was actually on the same one that we were on.
Right.
But it wasn't working right. So he went and just got the smaller
one. He got the new one.
And rolled with that.
Gave us the old hard to drive one.
Gave us the bigger one.
That ain't working
right?
today. Give me
so
the
he ended
one.
Up switching with Pam. But the point is, this, you know, the standards that we're talking about, now we're going to get into the gut punch, Pam, because people need to know how. How do I raise my standards? Because we're right at the bridge. You know, everything that happens before on the journey to the bridge.
Right.
Just like, you know, when the children of, you know, when the Israelites got to the Dead Sea, right? They were like, they all this journey to get away from Pharaoh. Now they got to the Dead Sea and they're like, okay, to the Red Sea. I'm sorry. They got there and they're like, oh, you brought us all this way to die. Right. So now here we are. At the Red Sea. How do we part the Red Sea? It's not that the Red Sea is parted. It's how do you part the Red Sea now? Because there's a division there.
Right.
And I promise you, the division is you walk across on dry land, right? So the Red Sea is getting ready to get parted. How do you actually raise your And it's a cute term. It's a sexy term. It really is.
Absolutely.
When you say it on a stage and the lights
raise
are going off,
standards.
Raise your standards. It's a profound statement, right? But how do you raise your standards? There's a moment, there's a period in your life that you have to go through in order to raise your standards, right? There's a separation period. There's a valley moment. There are some things that are happening. You go through a whole bunch of little valley moments and separations every day,
uh-huh.
right? But they're like little gnats that you just stand away. You just keep moving, right? You don't pay them much attention. But now what you're trying to do is you're trying to get maximum traction. You're trying to break away from something
uh-huh.
that you know that's keeping you where you are, because you're trying to get there, but you're stuck in the sand like Pam was,
right?
So you're trying to get there, but you can't move. So now you got to do something different to have something different, right? So now you get to that point where you say, okay, how do I do this? You start analyzing and you start surmising and you start figuring out the things that are holding you stuck, right? You figure those things out. And we always say it on the show.
You got to know your standards first and foremost.
Well, you got to know your standards. You got to know your standards. You got to know what you want. That's your vision.
Right.
Your vision is, your standards are, what do I want? If you only want to be able to eat, drink sodas and drink, eat Oreos every day, then that's, those standards are already met. Right. And I'm just using that as an analogy. Right.
That's average.
If you don't want to grow your mind, then that's just average. Right.
Right.
But if you want to be a part of the people that have raised their standards and have the freedom that they want, then it's going to require something of you.
Absolutely.
Right. So now here you are, you're figuring out, what your standards are. You have your vision. You say, that's so big what I want to achieve. It scares me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I can't do this by myself.
Right.
Right. Can't do this by myself. So what you do is you say, I know I need a team of people or a circle of people to accomplish this, but I have to be first partaker.
Right.
You got to go first.
Yeah, lead by example.
Somebody's got to go first.
Somebody has to.
Why not you? Right? You can't sit around waiting on everybody else to go first. So you say, okay, I know what I want. I know that my vision for my family is this. I want to build legacy. I want to make sure that they actually have what they need, even long after I'm gone, like Henry Ford. Henry Ford created a legacy for his family. They own everything in freaking Detroit now, right? Right? I mean, come on, let's just be real. He created their legacy, and they own everything in Detroit. And it didn't start off about money. It started off about freedom.
Right, so yeah.
This is where it starts, right? And you can maintain that freedom because the philosophy that I've always had, I've always been taught by wealth managers is, that you actually control everything, but you own nothing, right? So that gives you the freedom, if you guys understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that Henry Ford is doing what they're doing, the Ford family, man, they're set, and the vision was, we want to be this and that. And now what's your vision? Now you know that vision. How do I get to that vision? Now there's a separation point. Now you determine what is holding me back from getting to that vision. Guys, this is the hard part, man. I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be easy. It's not, right? It wasn't easy getting where you are, but
that's,
you did it over a period of years.
Right. Yeah,
right?
You're right. It's never going to be easy. But
this is the hard part.
People don't take the time. That's why people don't raise their standards and they remain average.
They don't raise their standards because now you realize what it is that you got to do.
It's not going
to
be easy.
What do I have to do? I got a separation is, if I'm going to walk across, if I'm going to actually, first of all, part the Red Sea.
Right.
Right? In order to walk across on dry land, because that's a long swim to the other side, right? If I'm going to part the Red Sea, then I'm going to have to write down the things that I know. Writing down these things that you know are holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I'm not talking about being mamby-pamby with you, Sam. I'm talking about first self-analyzation, analyzing who you are and what are your challenges, what are your shortcomings, what are your strengths, right? What are the things that scare the heck out of you,
mm-hmm.
right? Analyzing and knowing what all these things are, writing them down, right? And saying, okay, now I know I know why I'm stuck in the sand.
Right.
Pam knew why she was stuck in the sand because, she drove into the sand. It was so deep she couldn't get out. I can't get out because the sand's so deep, right? But now, once I know how I'm going
to
get
faster.
Out. Right. Now she was supposed to go faster through the sand.
Up the hill. The reason why I got stuck was because the hill was big. Yeah, for real. It was big. It was big, and this couldn't happen in life. The hill was big, so as I approached it, for real, fear set in. So I'm like, I'm going to go up this like a little slower than they did because I saw them flying dirt all over the place and everything. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So I decided to take the slow route, and the slow route got me stuck.
Got you stuck.
And he told me I didn't go up the hill fast enough.
So you had the mindset. You had
life.
The mindset that you needed to get up the hill.
Right.
But you didn't go fast
enough
to get up.
I'm
going to
slow down the pace.
So your grind,
mm-hmm.
your goal was big.
Yeah.
But your grind was little.
It was very little.
So your goal to your grind
it was
wasn't
little.
Control.
I got stuck.
Right.
I got stuck.
Right.
I
so
didn't make it up
stuck,
the hill.
And that's what happened.
So
now you've made all of these assessments on how you got stuck and why you're stuck and,
right.
This is what I need to do to get out. And so now the sea still hasn't parted yet. There's still no dry land. You still got to swim if you want to get through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking for that sea to part. So you have to start putting the action in place to actually start parting the sea.
Mm.
So that's the separation period, guys.
Right.
You have to get this, all right? I want you guys to get this. I want you guys to really understand, because some of you know what I'm saying, but you just haven't done it yet. And you're still looking at this big sea of water there that you can't cross. You're like, the fear is that I can't swim that far, but I think I can walk that far, right? So if I can walk that far, how do I create the conditions to where I can walk across on dry land? So how do you do that? You start separating. Just like the waters are going to separate to give you that dry land, you're going to have to start separating yourself from people that do not have your standards. Let me say that again.
Good.
You're going to have to start separating yourself from people, places, and things that do not exemplify the same standards that you do. So when you raise your standard, you're a giraffe able to eat at the top of the trees. All of a sudden, you want to bend your neck down to eat where the turtles are eating. You cannot do that and be a giraffe.
No.
I'm going to use the H word. This is the hard part. This is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it.
And a lot of times, too, when you begin to raise your standards, that separation is going to happen automatically anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to start to realize that it's not.
But the raising your standards, it's the traction part.
Right.
You can tell yourself, you're not going to make a PSA.
Right.
You're not going to say, hey, everybody, I am raising my standards. All y'all suckers, I ain't dealing with y'all no more. This is a wrap. Okay, you,
no.
Pack your bags, you're done.
Right.
You're not going to make that PSA.
No.
So when you raise your standards, that's you.
But
you're saying,
you
so now you start acting different.
Listen.
That's the traction. that's the traction. The traction of what I'm saying is you start actually applying the things that you said you were going to apply to actually raise your standards. Just because you say you're raising your standards
doesn't mean that's
doesn't
right.
Mean they're going to
right. Actions. Speak louder than words.
Action. Traction is what you want,
standards all day long. But your actions, you got to realize that your actions display everything from the inside. From the inside, it's going to be displayed on the outside. So when you raise your standards, it's not something that has to be said for real. It's just the things that you do differently that are now going to be able to be seen to the world, to others, and you're going to start to see the results. So, yeah, you're right. It comes from the inside out. So if you could say it all day long, but if there's no action, if it doesn't happen from within, then it doesn't even matter. It's just words that's being spoken. Just like you said, people say, oh, I'm raise your standards. I'm going to raise my standards. But it's from the inside out, okay? If it's not happening on the inside,
Man, I'm telling you, this is good. This is good because these are the things that people don't like. These are the things that people don't want to do.
Right.
These are the things that make people stop doing. These things that make you quit.
Yeah.
And when people think about doing these type things, they're like, I'm not doing that because it's not gonna be viewed. It's not gonna be smiled upon.
Right. And that's why the world, the average. 95% of the world is average, 95-97% of the world, average, mediocre, settle in life. That's why. Because, you know, they just settle. You know, it's what everybody else is doing. So why stretch? Why go above and beyond? You know, why put myself in that position? Let me just stay in my little happy little zone and let me just be me. And that's what happens in life. And it's, I'm telling you, that mind, that playground, for real.
So let's go
to... You don't work on it. The devil roll all through it.
So let's roll all through it, man. Rough house over it. So let's talk about some of the things that people say they're good at. And before we get into that, I want you guys to understand what I make to you guys. Money buys you freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Money can afford you freedom, right? It can afford you the ability to do things that you haven't had the opportunity to do, right? But if you don't know the right things to do with that money,
right,
then you end up than you were before,
right?
So you've heard it say, more money, more problems. So if you don't know the right things to do with that money, then you're just a rich person with a lot of problems, and that's a terrible thing.
Right.
So it's not all about the money. It's not all about the materialism. You know, you got to figure out what your God is. What's your God? If your God is money, then I'm here to tell you, If that's what you're seeking in life, it's just, I want money. I got to tell you, I know how that story ends, right? It'll end with you. You may get some money because what you focus on, it grows, mm-hmm. right? It'll grow. You'll get some money being doing bad things or good things. That's just reality. You can get money compromising yourself or not compromising yourself. You're going to get money on either aspect, either level. You're going to get the money is going to come. But can you sleep at night? Can you live with yourself? Have you built something that you can pass on to your kids? And now when you're 60 years old, you feel good
right.
about what you gave them. And you didn't come into the wisdom of, wait, I did this all jacked up. Mm-hmm. And now my whole family is freaking doing it.
Right.
It's not good. Now I've slowed down long enough to understand that, okay, the money was great, but the wisdom is now here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I should not have built this way.
Right.
Right. So how do you sow it? It's not about the money that you get. It's how you get the money. Right. So when you're trying to go for what you want to go to, guys, you know, you can look left and you can look right and try and figure out, well, why is that happening? Why is that happening? But that's not about that. It's about how should it happen for you? Right. So how do you start actually creating and raising your standards? So you've got, I see people on here, Pam, and they're saying, I'm great at decorating and designing, right?
Yeah.
Decorating and designing. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're great at decorating and designing, then at some point in time, you're going to have to tap into that, right? Because that's a passion for you, right? Yeah. So if you're tapping into that, now here's where most people mess up. They remain poor. They remain poor. And when I say poor, it's not the literal aspect of the word, the physical. It's the mental aspect.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to pass over opportunities repeatedly mm-hmm. to get them to their goals. And those opportunities could be anything that comes your way that's trying to give you the proper vehicle to get where you want to be.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you may have a goal that I want to have a franchise decorating and designing businesses. Well, you just don't jump one big mother may I leap from A to Z and get there, right? There's some in between there. How do I create that separation and create that dry land for me to walk across and start doing what I need to do on my journey?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that means you can't keep passing over the opportunities to get the resources that you need to feed that vision.
Right.
To feed that overall goal, you keep passing over the opportunity. And when you do that, guys, it sets you back, right? It sets you back. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is when people get set back, that's when they start quitting.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. When the setbacks, you have to recognize the setbacks are actually going to be the very things that help you to come back for real. So if you realize that, and that's one of the things that I had to realize, you know, as life was happening and as we were going through different things in life, it wasn't always easy. But as I began to understand that I did have a purpose and that I could absolutely accomplish anything that I wanted to put my mind to, I had to recognize that all of those things, those setbacks were just really in order to prepare us for the future, in order to help us to grow, in order to help us to stretch, in order to help us to become. And so I began to recognize that. I began to smile in the midst of the pain and not focus on it. That's the thing, because I used to focus on it, not focus on that thing, but to understand where we're going. So that's where I said that I began to realize the greater the challenge, the greater the victory. And you just got to stay focused on where you're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Stay focused.
Don't pay attention to the setback.
I'm good at helping people.
Just a part of the process.
I'm good at helping others exercising, working
right.
out, and being a mom.
Right.
Okay. So your passion, that is somehow attached to your passion. You obviously feel like you're mostly in your wheelhouse, as we say on the golf course. That's
right.
that's in my wheelhouse. I think I can hit this shot.
Right.
Right. So that's your passion. So you do things to help foster that, and you cut out the things
right.
that are not conducive
mm-hmm.
for creating that.
Right.
And the hardest part is getting rid of the people that are closest to you.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes those people don't exemplify the things that you want. How do you break away from those people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the breakaway, as I said, isn't doing a PSA. Okay, I'm breaking away from you because you suck and you're not doing what I'm doing and you don't want to be where I want to be. That's not the PSA. Don't do the PSA thing. Okay, the best public service announcement, ladies and gentlemen, is for you doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just start doing the things that you know you need to do, and people will either. I said this before, Pam. People will either come up to your level or they'll fall off.
Right.
But you won't be laying in a bed somewhere at 70, 80 years old saying, I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
That's right.
I didn't realize my dreams. But there will be a ton of people around you that are going to make you feel guilty. And they're going to say that you're selfish
mm-hmm.
for trying to achieve your dreams. And you have to be strong enough to tell them, you know, well, it's unfortunate.
Right,
that's one of my best lines.
Why do you feel that way?
It's unfortunate that you feel that way.
Right.
You know, but this is what I have to do. And you know, when all other attempts fail, either that person is going to understand what you're doing or that person is going to gravitate away from you. In any event, it's a win-win situation. And I think that's the hardest part for people is to understand that, you know, I'm going to have to break away from some of the things that I'm doing. And because of some of the things I'm doing, it feels good. Not only to me, but it feels good to other people, even down to enabling people physically, right? We watched this show. We don't watch it, but we were in Cabo and it was on the TV. We turned it on. It's called My 600-Pound Life, right? And this is the realest show ever, right? So it was My 600-Pound Life. I think she was like 647 pounds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet girl. I mean, but she was morbidly obese and, you know, and we're watching her and she was in her happy place when she could eat. Right. So she knew her at Dunkin' Donuts. It's like she doing this and she was still actually driving around doing stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
At 647 pounds. And she decided that basically the doctor told her she needed to do something or she wasn't going to be there long. So she went to this one doctor. You guys may know, heck, his name.
I don't know.
Anyway, this little short Spanish man. I don't know what he is.
He's a famous doctor.
Yeah, he's a famous weight loss doctor.
Right.
He does the weight loss surgeries.
Yeah.
And he told her that she was going to have to lose 50 pounds that first month.
Right.
And she thought that was like,
Impossible
to do.
She did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it wasn't impossible to kind of gain all of that weight. And she did it because it was a comfort zone for her. It didn't require anything. All she had to do was eat. But her biggest problem was that she had people, or one of her biggest problems, is that she had people that were enabling her, right? Her dad, her mom, they were cooking her and going to get her all of the food.
Right.
And when I heard her dad make the statement, it said, well, you know, sometimes I just don't know if I'm helping or enabling. And he told the doctor that.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, there are points, there are periods in your life when you hear something that moves you and you get it. Because I do believe that people miss it. I was in awe listening to him say that. But I do believe as a father, he wanted the best.
Oh, yeah.
For his daughter.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't want her to go through having to lose the weight because she knew she was going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the wrong best, right? It was the wrong best. It was as a parent, as a father, as a mother, you have to do the things that are best for your kids.
Right.
As opposed to what they want to do sometimes.
Right.
You guys know that as parents.
Yes.
But when he made that statement to the doctor's like, it wasn't even a lot of deliberation, you can say it, but you know, he just say, hey, well, it's not a hard choice. If you're giving her things that are bad for her, then it's enabling.
Right.
Like a light went off in his head. It was just that quick. And he made a decision to stop enabling her.
Yeah, he did.
It was just
that quick. It was a decision.
It was a decision, but that was his trigger point.
Mm-hmm.
His trigger point was somebody telling him the truth.
Right.
You are enabling her to do what she's doing.
Right.
Stop. And sometimes the people that are closest to you can tell you that, and they won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to ask yourself, what's your trigger point? So part of raising your standards, Pam, is be around people that will constantly trigger you to do better.
Right.
Right? If you're not around people, if you're around a whole bunch of turtles and y'all just eating from the grass, but you won't eat from the top of the trees, you never learn how to eat from the top of the trees hanging around turtles.
No, you won't.
You never will. Right?
Raise your standards.
Raising your standards means you have to be around people that want the same things in life that you want, right? You have to glean from those people, right? Because if you're not, it's not about where you are. And I think this is huge. Guys, I want you to get this. It's not about where you are, but it's where you perceive yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you perceive yourself to be something that you are not right now, and you're putting forth the action to do it, then the people that are where you are right now, they don't mind having you around them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind you being a part of what they're doing because they see that you've made a decision to raise your standards. And when you make a decision to raise your standards, now you're putting the action forward.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's good.
And that's what it's all about.
That's good. That's what it's all about. Raise your standards. And you have to also have that mindset of not just raising your standards at one time, but being a constant mindset of continuing to raise your standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you go from level to level. And putting yourself in a position to surround yourself with those that are going to continue to lift you higher, to put yourself in opportunities and in the position to be able to get to the next level. But just knowing that it's not going to be easy. You got to go through the process. You got to do the work. And as you do the work, that's when the dream will now begin to become your reality. So once you understand that, it all starts with a decision. You got to decide first and foremost. Cut off some stuff. Once you make that decision, everything else is going to begin to fall into place because you become this unstoppable person that's committed, right? We talked about, are you committed? Are you fully committed too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night. And, you know, you become fully committed to making sure that you're going to do whatever is necessary in order to go out and to get it done.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I think people get to that point to where they're interested in doing better, but they're just not committed. And when they commit, then they don't fully commit by placing the action in it. But now if you're at that point to where you tell yourself that I'm ready to do this thing, I'm ready to win, and you stand at the finish line and the gun goes off, but you don't run because you allow the fear to stop you. But guys, this is where you have people around
you. Through it.
This is where you have people around you that actually are there to help you raise that standard, right? You're going to feel like you can't start when you're around people, the other people that can't start.
Right.
If that makes sense. I hope you guys get that. You have to put yourself around people that are pulling the trigger.
Pulling the trigger.
You have to put yourself around people that want the same things, if not more, than what you want. Because if you don't, you can't. It's harder to raise your standards, you know, being around the same standards. And that separation point is what gives you the people, the places and the things, even doing the things that you know you shouldn't do, going places that you know you should not go. You know, if somebody says, hey, I'm going to have a party and the party's going to have a party at the place where you know your weakness is for food, don't go to that party. Don't go, you know, unless you know that your resolve is so you've completely committed, right? You're past that stage. It's like putting crack in front of a crackhead when they're just still trying to get cleaned out and they're going to smoke that crack, okay? So just like the person, if you put food in front of them, they're going to eat that food. And guys, I use a lot of food analogies. I do because I've always believed that one of the things that really, really, I guess, plague people is the physical.
Right.
It's food. A lot of people don't admit the fact that food is a weakness for them. And you don't have to be obese to have food as a weakness. I have some weaknesses. There are some things that I love to eat that I know I can't eat.
Right.
You know, but if you can create a mindset that says I can abstain from this and that in order to get this, then it tells me that your mental is strong enough to perceive greater.
That's
right.
True. You're right.
So,
because if you can conquer that,
right,
then you can conquer anything. I agree, because it wasn't easy, you know, cutting out meat. And to this day, I have been able to withstand that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much, I smell them chicken wings that I used to love, you know. But yeah,
but you're fully committed.
Yeah, I'm fully committed. I'm all in at this point, you know, three and a half, almost 4 years later. Yeah.
So you can abstain.
I can cook it.
Yeah.
I can fix it for everybody. And I no longer desire it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're at that point, then you can go and hang out and do whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
But if you know you're not, you know, at that point, then this is the moment when you're still partying
right.
the Red Sea.
Right.
You haven't got to that point where you can walk through on dry land that far and say, yep, I see that. Smells good, looks good, but I don't want it.
Right.
You know, that place looks good. But it gets to the point where you can put this in an aspect of your life. It doesn't matter if it's just food.
Right.
It could be you going places that you know you should not be. It could be you doing things that you know you should not do. If you know you shouldn't do them and you're not strong enough to abstain, then don't do them. And don't be the person that says, okay, I'm not going to do this. You know, but I don't, you're the hypocrite, right? You're the person that says, I don't like the exploiting. I don't like exploiting women. You know, that's not cool. It's not, but I see you walking into a strip club. I'm like, what happened to what you said? You see what I'm saying? Why do you go in there? Because that's what I mean when I say people, places, and things.
Right.
And guys, there are going to be people in your life that you have to learn to get out and completely block, because they're, and I'm just going to say this so you guys can understand this, because there's always one or two people, if not more, in your life, you just maybe have not identified them yet, okay? There are always one or two people in your life that do not want to see you be successful.
Right.
Point blank. I don't know any other way to say that. They do not want to see you successful, okay? You have to figure out how to block those people out of your life.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been said, the more people that love you, the more people that hate you. So, you know, they're going to come tandem together, so... It is what it is.
No, some of you know the people.
But you just,
Pam is sugarcoating it, okay? Some of you know
recognize.
The people I'm talking about right now, okay? Recognize it. This ain't a sugarcoat show, okay? There's some people in your life right now. I ain't talking about tomorrow. I'm talking just right now. That don't want the best for you.
Yeah.
And it's not what they say, it's what they do.
Right.
Right? They'll put up a really good front as if they want the best for you. But they really, really don't. And your discernment, you raising your standards and doing the things that you know you need to do, is going to help you identify who those people are. Okay? And that's very important.
That is. Raise your standards on this Freedom Friday. All right? So, yeah.
So, guys, that's the end of our time. You know, I want to play a song for you guys, because this is a song that Pam and I really, that it really was a turning point for Pam and I, and we talk about the things that we've experienced or we are experiencing. And it really was a turning point for us. And when we heard this song, it was a trigger, and, you know, hopefully it'll be a trigger for somebody on the show. But it's one of those things that when you quantify what you want and where you are and what you need to do to get there, man, things start to change for you. And it's not about what everybody sees on the outside right away. Sometimes you got to go in and do some housekeeping.
Right.
Right. You got to clean up the house before company comes over.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody sees you doing that. Right. So, man, God bless you guys. You know, we'll see you guys.
Blessings. See y'all Tuesday.
A lot going on with us, man.
Grind.
Big week. Stay tuned for the next Grind Connection event, man, /TLC health and wellness event, man. Things are happening. Big time here. Vegas is going to be on fire. Hopefully you guys are doing the right thing where you are, guys, to create that momentum and raise your standards. God bless you guys, man. We'll see you guys on next Tuesday. Bright and early, same
Have
time.
Have an amazing
Same
weekend.
Place, man.
Make it great.
God bless y'all.
Blessings.
capture. Just let. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking, how? Everybody's choking now.